a little mixed. He's got us going to meetings on Monday that aren't going to happen. And he's got me speaking up there with the mic moved over, and I'm speaking down here. And now he's, rather than sitting with his son back there, he went to the other room. So you know he's confused this morning, but I'm glad he's here anyway. Ask you to turn in your Bibles for a moment to the book of Psalms. We're going to be going to Psalm 27, at least briefly here. But I want to do a little exercise with you. And if you're familiar with the app that you can have free on your phone. Oh, everybody goes, a free app. Oh. It's called Olive Tree. Olive Tree is a Bible program. And you can get a basic Bible and that kind of thing. So what you can do is you can actually search the scriptures there. And so what I did this morning, in anticipation of just being with you this morning, I wanted you to think about who the Lord is. That's where our focus is this morning as we break bread, is who is the Lord? And so I just typed in a little search in my app, and I said, I'm putting quotation marks, the Lord is, and it showed up 55 times on my app in the Psalms. So I'll just read a few to you, and I want you to think about it. I'll give you the reference, and you might want to write it down because maybe you hadn't thought about that. I won't read all 55 of them. I'll just read a few here. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is my refuge. Isn't that good? Wow. Psalm 10, verse 16, the Lord is King. Don't you want to worship the King? Psalm 11, verse 7, the Lord is righteous. We could do with righteousness, can't we? We could see more of that, and hopefully his church represents him like that. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock. I like that. Psalm 19, verse 19, the Lord is pure. Of course, you know Psalm 23. What is Psalm 23, verse 1? What does it say? The Lord, that's right, the Lord is my shepherd. Don't you go there a lot? I do. You know something, if you're a young person here, you'll know that that's probably a favorite passage of mom and dad's. Here's another one. I'll come back to Psalm 27 a bit, but I'm going to go over to Psalm 28, verse 7. It says, the Lord is my strength. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, the Lord is good. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close. Wow. Sometimes we feel a little distant, don't we? We wonder if God is close, but he's close all the time. Again, you want to comfort your children with that. Psalm 40, verse 16, the Lord is great. The Lord is great. Anyway, let's go over to Psalm 27 for a moment. We're breaking bread, and I actually would like us to break bread every week, but somehow life seems to be such that we can't do all the things that we want. But I certainly find these times here to be just a time to take a breath, to focus on the significance, who the Lord is. Thank you to the worship team and the songs, very appropriate in focusing in on what Jesus accomplished for us. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Not simply to go to heaven when you die, but he's my salvation every day. He's saving me every day. I'm sorry, heaven is the destiny, but we have a journey that we're supposed to enjoy. That was one of the things that we enjoyed doing when we went on little road trips with Mom and Dad. We lived in town, so we didn't see a lot of wildlife, and we would go along these farms between Timmins and Matheson, and there'd be horses out in the field. And my sister would say, "Did you see those horses? I saw them first." Oh, a bunch of cows over there. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He wants us to enjoy the journey. And those trips in the car would remind us of the power of God and the love of God. But notice what it says. It asks a question. If it's true that the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? No one. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. And though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. And though a war break out against me, even then I will be confident. How's that going? Are you here with confidence? Are you here rejoicing that the Lord is your light and your salvation? One thing I ask of the Lord. That sounds a little like a low German phrase, doesn't it? Just once? I'm just going to ask once. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. And I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Wednesday mornings, Henry and I get together. We have a Bible class in the morning at 7 with some guys. And then after Bible class, we get together and we have a prayer time and we come into the sanctuary. And we pray. We pray for the work. We worship God. We thank the Lord. Verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May you seek the Lord today. I'm going to invite some of the men to come up and share some things that you've been reading. We're going to start with a word of prayer and then come on up as you have opportunity. Father, I thank you for each one here this morning. We want to pause and give thought to who you are. Yes, you are good. You are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our King. You are our light and our salvation. Yes, your face, Lord, we want to seek. We thank you that as we come to break bread, that it's there that we can see the Lord Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. The joy, of course, would be to see us humbly bowing before you, humbly confessing our need of you, seeking you for strength and for wisdom. Pray that you might bless our time together as we continue to just meditate upon your word and your promises. Continue to reflect upon all that you've done for us. And so may you receive the glory and the honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's me again, yeah. Like he said, I was confused. But, and I don't disagree. My Bible reading today, I am in Colossians. This is where I'm reading at with my kids. So if you can turn to Colossians 2. We'll start at verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Isn't this amazing? I get to read the scriptures with my kids, with my family. I have them, these precious promises that we have. You know, as we acknowledge and take to heart what Christ has done, how valuable is this not? Our sins, the debt has been canceled. Amazing, right? Amazing. He has paid it, the penalty that I owe. My kids get to hear it. I get to share it with them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, how he just wrote to these different letters to the churches. How his focus was on you and how he had a clear understanding of what you had done. Thank you, Lord, that you have paid the penalty of my sin. Thank you that you give me eternal life, that I will be able to be with you and my kids and all these people. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have made a way. Pray that you'd continue to bless our time together here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Romans chapter 5. I'll be reading the first 11 verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you too for your word, the truth that is in it. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to just thank you for that. And as we reflect on that, as we reflect on what you've done for us in sending Jesus so that we can be saved through his death and have life, have eternal life, and know it and be secure in that, help us to take that and honor you by living our lives the way you would want us to, with just because we love you and are thankful for what you've done for us, knowing that we could never, ever earn our salvation, but to live our lives in gratitude for what you've done for us, being the people you want us to be by loving each other, forgiving, showing grace to others. Help us to be those people that are shining their lights so that the rest of the world will see that and be attracted to you. Thank you for your love, thank you for your word, and thank you for this morning here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 12. I shared this with the ABF this morning and figured I'd share it with everyone here again. This was a nation who had forgotten what God had given them, had abandoned the commands that he gave them, and in their time when they suffered their consequences, and in that time of desperation they realized what they had done wrong and what they needed to do. It's a song of praise. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just... grateful, Lord, that we can know you. Grateful that you forgive us again and again, and that you give us opportunities to serve you. Pray that we would take the opportunities that we have to be the light, to be the example. Thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Pray, Lord, that we would today here just honor and glorify you in all that we do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go over to 2 Peter for a moment. Before we break bread and this is, Peter says, the second letter to you. Assuming that the audience caught on to what was said in the first letter. I've written both of them as reminders. You know, the Word of God is a reminder. Sometimes you read it and you see things that you've never seen before. Sometimes you read it and say, oh, I needed that. I needed to be reminded of that. I seem to have forgotten. Reminders, from Peter's perspective, are meant to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Paul put it this way, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. May you have the mind of Christ. And so he goes on, he shares some things that related to things that likely he had said to them firsthand, face to face. You know, you and I get to have conversations face to face, whether it's in a small group or a Bible class, sometimes over a cup of coffee. Says you need to understand something. There are going to be mockers and scoffers. People don't want to be reminded that the Lord is actually coming. But for those of us who believe, that should be a welcome thing. Should be a welcome thought that the Lord is returning. Could be at any moment. Wow. Of course, people would like to question whether you keep telling us you're coming, the church keeps saying you're coming, but oh, the Lord commanded us to break bread until he does return. Huh. Well, why would you do that? Well, so we wouldn't forget that he promised that he's coming back. It seems that people deliberately forget what God has done. People deny that God had actually judged the world long ago with a flood. People forget that there's still a future day in which this current world will be judged. And so we are in, we would call it an inter-Advent time between one judgment and another. And yet in between that time, we want to be reminded that the Lord is patient. You and I should not be judging the world. The Lord's going to do that. Rather, we should be judging ourselves. Oh, that's what the Lord's table's about, is so that when I come to the table, I come with a sincere heart, not encumbered with worries of life, not with cursing the darkness. Well, like you, I am troubled by a lot of things that are going on in our world. But the Lord is patient. He wants all to come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. As we break bread, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we start with that as we come to break bread? In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Isn't that what we're doing? Is remembering Christ and his death and his resurrection? And he's called us into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. You and I are being shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you should greatly rejoice. No, that's not what it says. No, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Thank you, Corny, for that passage in Romans reminding us of perseverance. Turn over to verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think on wholesome things. Prepare your minds for action. What does action look like? Well, first of all, it needs to begin with self-control. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. In other words, wonder what grace, what amount of grace are you going to receive? Well, it's supposed to be honor. It's supposed to be recognition for your faithfulness, having overcome in the midst of the trials of life. And the trials of life come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, oftentimes tailor-made to challenge you to grow, even as we were reminded in the ABF this morning about challenges in marriage. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. What does that look like? For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers. Strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish or defect. Through him, verse 21, you believe in God and who raised him from the dead and glorified him so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Back to 2 Peter. Living in between time, so to speak, from the judgment by water to the judgment by fire, we have received grace. We break bread because we're grateful for the grace that we've received. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. This future day of judgment will be referred to as the day of the Lord. It will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. You can be sure that God is not slow concerning his promises. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, a question be asked, what kind of person should I be? What kind of people ought you and I be? We ought to live holy and godly lives, all the way back there to 1 Peter 1, verse 16. We should live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of God, the day where God sets everything right. The cross was God's way of setting everything right. He dealt with all the sin of all people of all time. Says the issue of sin has been dealt with. As Frank reminded us, we've all of that stuff that was held up against us from the written code, from the word, we've been acquitted of that guilt by virtue of our faith in the Lord Jesus. So you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. You better ask Mom and Dad to explain that to you. Ask them, when is that going to happen? Oh, they should have an answer. But in keeping with his promise, the precious promises that are referred to back there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. We're looking forward. Are you looking forward? Are you looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth? And between here and then, living a holy life, being self-controlled, loving the Lord your God with every fiber of your being. We're looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, the home of righteousness. And so then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort. And if you want to put down 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that's where the phrase began. Make every effort. Make every effort to add these qualities to your life in ever-increasing measure. Don't you want to be a better person today than you were yesterday? Don't you want to be more faithful, more loving, more trusting of God? Do you not want to rest more in the grace and the love of God? Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that the Lord's patience, back there to chapter 3, verse 9, means salvation, means deliverance. From what? That future day of judgment. Verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, we've been reminded, remember? Back there, chapter 3, verse 1, second time, first letter reminded us. Been reminded again, since you already know this. Well, how well do I know it? Do I know it in such a way that it has impact the way I think? Be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. This isn't about losing your position in heaven, but losing this standing in faithfulness. Rather, being holy. Then he says, grow in the grace and knowledge. Growing in grace and knowledge. Growing in intimate knowledge of the Lord. To worship Him more, to trust Him more, to pray to Him more. And then as I do that, I learn to relate, well, to my neighbors, to my family, to my coworkers. To Him be glory both now and forever. To Him be glory now. To him be glory now in the moment, in the time of your life. And may he receive the glory forever, because in the now you are giving him the glory. May the Lord grant you wisdom. I'll ask the men who are coming up to help with passing the emblems around to come forward, please. Courtney, you want to give thanks for the loaf, please.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you again, just thanking you for what we've heard this morning, Lord. The passages, things Mike shared with us from your word, and also the songs that were sung, all reflecting on you, what you've done for us, and how you want us to live. I pray, Lord, as we partake of the bread, which represents your body being broken for us, so that we can have life, Lord, I just pray that you will, as we partake of it, as we think about what it means, I pray that you will just bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Romans 12, verse 4 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The night Jesus took bread, and the night that he was betrayed, he had given thanks, and he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been able to have, just reflecting on you, thinking about what you have done and how you've made a way. Thank you for the cup that represents the shed blood, your blood that was shed, so that we could be have remission of sins. Lord, help us to take it to heart, and not just here today, but throughout the week, remember you, what you've done. So I ask that you bless the cup in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isaiah 53, verse 10 says, it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord, our God, makes the life of his son a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. It says, for he bore the sin of many and made transgression for the transgressors, made intercession, pardon me, for the transgressors. Back to 1 Corinthians 11. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Coming again, there's a song called that. I don't know if you know it, do you? No? I don't think I can. Right now I'm missing the tune a little bit. But maybe it's one that we could sing from time to time. Let's stand together as we give thanks for our time and remembrance and You know, you're going to be gathering around your lunch tables, and maybe a lot of what we talked about here today will be a distant, maybe not even a memory. But I pray that it would be. As Frank reminded us of the privilege that we have as parents to read, to pray, we want these times to be sincere, and you know where your kids are at. You know that they giggle when they're not supposed to. In fact, we do too, don't we, as adults? I was giggling a little bit as Corny was going to sit on Nick. You know, somewhat of an interesting little party up here. Yeah. But you know, when we're around the table, we want to remember who we are and give thanks for the grace that's been given to us. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, again for the wonder of your marvelous grace, your love to us. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for the passages that were read. Thank you for the reminders that are there in your word every day. Thank you for the friendships that we get to have here on earth in anticipation of meeting you. Help us to grow in our love for one another. Help us, Lord, to be a light to those around us. Help us to realize that this is simply a moment in time, and as compared to eternity, it's a light and momentary struggle. May we live our lives in joy. May we look forward to that day when we'll meet you and trust, Lord, that we will live in such a way that we might hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you for each one. Go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and may the Lord grant you his peace.